Listen, if we bring up the devil, talk about the devil. What is he like? What does he look like? Listen, where's the devil today? Where is he at in all the world right now? Have you ever seen him? You ever talked to him? You ever talked to you? Listen, there's no question about it. In biblical revelation, Ezekiel 28, once anointed cherub. But something happens. Everything's corrupted. It tells us very clearly, until wickedness was found inside. Now that word, Hebrew word, means a violent-willed choice. It's clearly from the inside out. A willed choice against God. Now it had everything to do with, destroying God, getting rid of God. It had everything to do with exalting self. You can read about it. So many believers have. Ezekiel 28. But in the world that we live in, what about the philosophers? What about the poets and musicians and, the scientists and psychologists and anthropologists and on and on and on? Is there sociological evidences for the devil? That is, not even only a big question, but let's ask right now. I mean, listen, if there is no devil, then we've got to go back and look at the fall of the human race. Was it just us? We're going to go back and again in this day and in this hour, look at all of it. Look at, what really is the origin? Is the origins... Is it all about aliens creating us and leaving us here? Now, if you take that as the answer, if you take random chance, if Stephen Hawking is right and it's all a fairy tale and we're just here, then truly him sitting in the chair to me is and all the science that you've gone after and all the knowledge you've gone after and there's no answer. You just live in that chair and then you die and that's it. Richard Dawkins, atheist, angry at God, angry at religion. There is no God, really? Well, then no God, no Satan, no devil. That's what some of the philosophers are going to say. Some of the scientists are going to say, well, that's what a lot of individuals might say. But I think they have a lot more questions than they have answers. When we come down to it, I will take the words of Jesus Christ. I will take the words of the Gospels. Those manuscripts are the most attested to manuscripts in human history, archaeological, historical, and manuscript development. I mean, the oral, the written tradition, the transmission. They're just simply nothing in comparison on a human scale. But what about the Spirit of God? What about the supernatural side of it all? That's why around the world, whether in China, in Russia, all around the world, somebody could be reading the scripture, the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Mark, and be struck by the presence of God and turn to the living Christ. And there in a remote village in Vietnam, in a hillside there in China, in a cold city in Russia, little cafe in France, an individual that turns and believes on the living Christ can meet the living Christ there and know him and be born the Spirit of God. Now, the evidence concerning God isn't whittled down to just an experience with God. I've never been to China, but I believe it's there. Never been to Russia, but I believe it's there. Never been out in space to see all the other planets, but I'm sure they're there. I have no question that the existence of God and the witness of his existence is imprinted in our DNA, imprinted in our conscience, imprinted in all of creation, so much so that God in Scripture can say, check it out, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 down, that mankind is without excuse. I think that the denial of God and the denial of the devil has everything to do, truthfully, listen, with fear and moral defense. No God, you have no one. You have no one to be accountable to, right? Ultimately, when it comes down to it, hey, this is Russ Dizdar. Shatter the Darkness live broadcast on a Thursday night. It is now the 2nd of June. We've entered the summer. We've already entered in. Beautiful day to here where I'm living. 70 degrees, pure sunshine. Absolutely incredible day. We're ready to talk today, though, to you, and welcome by satellite, welcome by internet radio. Welcome to those of you that are going to listen by the archives. I want to say that, again, 1 hour, supernatural. God is here. God is here. And we ask that he stretch forth his hand to save, heal, and deliver, to work in an extraordinary... in this day, in this hour, I'm asking God, that's my prayer, it's my belief, in my study of the book of Acts, I believe that God still does extraordinary things. May God bring extraordinary revival and a massive strike of his presence and power there in Victoria, British Columbia, Vancouver. We were on late night last night talking all about it. That involves exposing radical underground satanic evil. Now listen, I've never seen the devil face to face. I'm not sure how many times the devil himself has ever come after me or bothered me. You see, he's finite, can only be in one place at one time. But you got to understand, through biblical witness, there is this enormous revelation of the collective, the connection, the prince of the power of the air, the battle that is not against flesh and blood, but against Archai, Exousia, Cosmocrator, Paneus, Pneumonikai, these types of the demonic realm. That Greek word can be, it's used in the concept of species. So among the extra-dimensional entities, the demonic, the satanic, those of that nature, they come in species or types. But it's very clear they are global, they are in the air, on the ground, in spots where the doorways have been opened, in lives where doorways have been opened. Oh, well, let me tell you this. He has a lot of rights. I mean, you can look at the history of the writings of cultures. No question, a belief in the presence of some kind of evil, some kind of presence out there. But it's not good enough just to say there's a presence out there. Just as there is general revelation, natural revelation, the heavens pour forth speech concerning the existence of God. The all of creation gives witness to the divine power, the nature of God, the invisible qualities. Now, you could read about that again, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down. There is a witness so strong in creation that God says mankind's without excuse as far as knowing his presence, his existence. But again, knowing that existence doesn't lead us to definitions, to knowing him, how to find him, since we're lost. I think that's very important for us to understand. If we weren't lost, we wouldn't be searching. We wouldn't be asking the questions. That's what I think. In this radio broadcast today on the June 2nd, 2011, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. For the new folks listening tonight and later in the archives, want to say welcome. Want to say that we ask that God engage you and engage you with mercy, engage you with grace. So let me say welcome to the military folks, welcome to the governmental folks, welcome to the folks that do the recon, those on the other side of the fence deeply, Luciferians. I want to say that I'm glad that you do listen, even if it bugs you, and even if you do things against what we do. You got to know one thing, that we've only had a heart for your life. And you see, when I think of you, I think of the value is weighed, for me, is weighed at the foot of the cross. The value of your life, of your existence. God in human flesh on the cross, substitutionary atonement. He gave his life for you. He gave up his life on that cross for you. He did it to bring you back. He did it to open the door. He did it to redeem. But that redemption does not involve programming. It does not involve remote control. It does not involve you know, lassoing you and tying you up and taking an unwilling. You know, God does not kidnap unwilling individuals. God comes to bring his presence, his power to bear in your life. That's why I want to say to the atheist, to the agnostic, go ahead and listen. Let God fall all over you. I mean, God can show miracle, sign, and wonder, but I want you to know something. All that God does never negates the human will. What God does is break the darkness to free the human will, to enable the human will by his word, by his revelation, for you to make a free choice. What are you going to do with that? Well, we're talking about the devil today. We're on this theme all of this week, critical mass. Now, I've been talking about this since Monday night. And by the way, again, if you're new, the archives will give you all of this week's materials. Critical mass, spiritual warfare, the front lines of past, present, right now, even this moment, and future history. Yeah, let me just say this much about the devil. When you do the biblical thing, when you look at all of the scriptures, revelation, systematic revelation, I mean, take all of it and then categorize it, there you got systematic theology, systematic revelation of what the scripture says about the origin of Satan, who he was, what he became, what he's doing, how, what, when, why, where, all of it. And we need to know this. If you're a believer, you need to know this, because this is your enemy that prowls around seeking whom he may devour. And we're told to be self-controlled and alert. We're given authority. We're told to put on the armor of God. And we're told to watch in this walk, in this fallen world, we are in the battlefield. We are in the battlefield. God says it very clearly to the believer, Ephesians 6, your battle, your warfare, your struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's what's behind the scenes. It's what builds Rome's political ideology and its emperor worship and its exalting self to God. And thus, with that presence embedded in ancient Rome, oh, yeah, they had the blood cults, Bacchus, and all the other things. But there was such a stronghold of Satan, the devil's presence in that ideology and belief system that it was extremely opposed to Christ and to Christians, to the church. That's why the massive persecutions. Well, to the point where Nero, at one point, had a coin struck that said the Christian religion is dead. They thought they had destroyed it. Well, the believers scattered. They went underground in catacombs. They had to be very careful who they talked to. But ultimately, you ever read Romans 16:20? Written during the time when Rome was still there. The believers were growing in all of Rome, and here was an empire that opposed the development of the body of Christ on earth. Oh, there's a compromise. There's political. Anytime the political takes over and develops and shapes and turns the church into an institutional political system, well, then it's been compromised. And not only the hypocrisy, but it's a caricature of the real thing. Nevertheless, the body of Christ was intact. And nevertheless, God said it there in prophetic form, Romans 16:20, that God would soon crush Satan under their feet. Now, that was a direct, in the historical grammatical of the Greek, of the New Testament, that was ultimately a word concerning the fall of Rome. Though that's what God does in other places, in other nations, in other places. Let all the kings of the earth and all the nations understand that as God establishes and gives the right, he also, Romans 13, commissions what government's supposed to be about in limited form, in relationship to the sovereign God. And once that's abdicated, And once other doors are opened up, well, a political system can become an enemy of God. And once that occurs, just ask Rome. It was brought down. That's right. I believe Rome was brought down in the context of spiritual war that was so embedded physically, politically, in the ideology and so forth. There's a great struggle. There were believers that lost their lives. Fox's Book of Martyrs talks about it. I mean, you could even go to the Book of Acts and see some of it there. But as Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell itself will not prevail. Well, that word can be translated, will not withstand. The concept, the church is the advancing, aggressive, it's the onslaught of the church on the face of the earth. This is God's hand of grace, but also his weapon. Did you know that? The church on the face of the earth is the spiritual weapon and has been spiritually weaponized by God. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you've been listening to these broadcasts and to our information for some time, and because of the hour that we live in and what is to come, you better get all the information you can concerning the church weaponized, let alone packed with grace, motivated by the love of God, commissioned by the Savior himself, empowered by the Spirit of God. Yet we've got an enemy that seeks to not only stop us from doing what we do, stop the gospel, stop the preachers, stop the evangelists, stop the believers, persecute, annihilate the church, scatter it, do all that can be done. It's been done all around the world. It's been done literally to the body of Christ during those days and later on. It was done during the rise of the Nazis, obviously, atheistic communism, many places around the world. And even today, the major suppression of the church, it's very hard in some parts of the world. I mean, try to be a great, big, powerful church there in Saudi Arabia or in Iran or in Iraq, where a dark entity, a territorial, most likely the Prince of Persia, has his embedded presence on the ground, in the political ideology, in the temples, the mosques. Well, there's a reason. Now, that's part of this whole thing, spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is not just you alone. It is on a global scale. It involves politics and its developments and what's embedded. It involves the development of militaries. It involves the development of economics around the world. It involves nations. Now, I got to tell you something really quick here, because when it comes to, and I mentioned this already this week, when it comes to the coming of God in human flesh, Christ, that was God's love coming into the world. On the one hand, the redemption of humanity, but his presence was announcing destruction on the dark side. If you're a believer in Christ, let me tell you something, how absolutely failed liberalism is. Neo-Orthodoxy is. Let me tell you how bad the demythologizers like Boltman and the rest back in the day, and Paul Tillich and all the rest. Let me tell you about those who have, it seems as though they never really knew Christ in his presence and his power, and it was all religion and mystical, and then because of no reality in their walk, their ability to slip and slide away and exchange the glory of God for created things, exchange the truth of God for lies. Liberal Christianity is a caricature. Neo-Orthodox Christianity is a caricature. Anything that brings political enculturation, anything that comes from the outside in that seeks to change, suppress, alter, reframe the body of Christ, that's got to be a constant thing in your personal life. The world, the flesh, and the devil, three enemies. The world, fallen world system, the devil himself and all the demonic array. And then the old sin nature. We talked about that on Wednesday night. So tonight, we're dealing directly with Satan's presence. Now, you can go take a read of Revelation chapters 2 and 3. You can take a read of the seven churches of Revelation that Jesus was dealing with. You can take a read of one of those where Jesus says, where Satan has his throne. 2,600 years ago, you can go back to the days of Daniel, where the prince of Persia blocked angelic presence, or an angel that was sent by God. The moment Daniel began to pray, an angel was dispatched to bring the answer. Well, it took days and days and days. And for only one reason, the prince of Persia blocked and engaged the angel of God, and another angel of God had to come. Pretty amazing. What goes on beyond what we see? Now, I'm not saying that we have to have our eyes open to see it all. I wonder if it would terrify us. I think when angels ever show their appearance in Scripture, you ever see it where even good men fall to the ground as though they were dead? The presence of an angelic entity is so awe-striking and powerful that even believers falling to the ground astounded, depending on the revelation of the angel. I mean, Mary had a visitation. Peter had a visitation. Paul had a visitation. But again, astounding. No doubt about God, no doubt about the angels of God, but I want you to know right now that, as someone said, it's not as though the devil's behind every rock. He's behind every rock, every tree, every bush. You got to understand that the fallen world system, Satan was given rights. He's called the god of this eon, this age. Blinding, he's active, blinding the minds of unbelievers so they can't see. It's all about, he doesn't want you to see. If you're listening right now, you're a seeker. You're on the other side of the fence. You don't know the living Christ. I'm telling you right now, you can read it for yourself in the Word of God. God says that this fallen entity called the God, small g, of this eon, this time period, he only has a certain time period. The God of this age, small g, blinds the minds of unbelievers, those who aren't saved, believing in Christ yet. What is the reason? So that they cannot see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the icon of God, the image of God, the exact representation to the T. He is the visible of the invisible. So if you want deep theology, look at Jesus to see the depth of God. I mean, eventually Philip saw it. Thomas had to get down on his knee and cry out, "My Lord and my God," capital G. What do you know about the depth of God? Let me tell you something. Satan knows a lot, but he didn't know everything. There's no question that there was a horrific error in what he did, but it's called wickedness. It's a word that deals with the force of will in the most violent of ways. He literally went mad, violent in his will against God and everything about his nature. Everything about his being changed. Now, I mentioned the origins. We're going to do that Friday. The nature, we'll do more of that Friday. The methodology, that's important to know if you're going to walk strong in Christ. But the agenda is a big issue because it will, what God has revealed about the agenda blows out of the water anything and everything that Edgar Cayce, Nostradamus, the psychics, 2012ers, alienologists, or even Webbot says, because of the infallible, irrevocable accuracy of the Spirit of God. Now, that's going to be on Friday night. Tonight, we're dealing with the devil, battling the prince of darkness, spiritual warfare, and what God's doing, what God has done. Now, on the one hand, and if you got to, by the way, if you didn't know, on the website shatterthedarkness.net, there is PDF file notes for Thursday also here. You might have those. There's also the overview for the week that you want to maybe get in the beginning. But tonight, it's who is this that shakes the world? B, what is he? Do you know this enemy? C, why does he do what he does? And then evidence? Well, we're going to then deal with the spiritual warfare issues concerning the devil himself. And, you know, what's happening there. So let's take a look real quick. I don't know if you've read Ezekiel 28 or not, when it begins to deal with the king of Tyre, which seems to be very clear about the inseparable mounting, the idea that he and his kingdom utterly, completely intertwined, mixed Satan's presence. And that's how a king, and that's how a kingdom can become. So given over, so much like. I mean, when Roman Caesars, when the emperors are saying that they're exalting themselves to be God, they're doing the very core thing that the violent willed will of Satan did in the beginning. It's all about that autonomy, that self-exaltation. And this is what was being said to this ruler of Tyre, that he's, you know, you can read about it, where in the pride of your heart, you say, I'm a god. I sit on the throne of a god. Now, this is what occurs. You can go, if you want to the book of Acts and see where Herod did this in his opposition to the church, too. And an angel of God struck him and he went down. Pretty heavy thing. See, the affairs of mankind can be ruled by rulers that literally, we can use the word, nobody really likes to do this, but can be really luciferic all the way. The mind, the heart, the political ideology could be nothing more than a manifestation of a life taken over by hell's presence, by Satan's presence. Satan was able to enter into Judas and get Judas to betray Christ. Satan entered into Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5, to bring corruption, infiltration, and harm to the body of Christ. So when you, as a believer that's listening, you and I, we need the heads up that God gives. Not only in the biblical revelation to know, but in our experiential walk with Holy Spirit discernment, what's going on around us. Even right now. What about today? Any discernible activity of the enemy against you? Ezekiel 28, going back to it, he was in Eden, the garden of God, talks about how, again, he was adorned, ruby, topaz, emerald, crystallite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, beryl, and on and on and on. Most likely musical instruments and abilities inbuilt. You're talking about an incredible being. An anointed guardian cherub. You're talking about a massive and incredible, powerful being. Was on the Mount of God, walked among the fiery stones, blameless in all of his ways since the day he was created. Now here's where everything changes. You can check out verse 15. Until wickedness was found in you. Now that word, wickedness, iniquity, you can, you know, just, you've got a computer, you can look it up in the Hebrew. But it deals with a very, very violently willed choice. And his widespread trade. He sinned. And God drove him in disgrace from the Mount of God. He was expelled. That's where the first deliverance ever occurred. God expelled the fallen cherub immediately from walking among the fiery stones of God. His heart became proud on the basis of his beauty. His wisdom was corrupted. And when I use the word transmuted, that's what I mean. The original is mutated. He is completely mutated, corrupted. Well, in all that he does and everything towards the very end, as God reduces him to ashes, all the nations who knew you are appalled at you. You've come to a horrible end. Now you can again read the end of Revelation 19, the beginning of Revelation 20. And it's pretty interesting to me that when you read all of this, the concept of even in the end, You know, Antichrist is on the ground. But after that, when Christ comes, then Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. Don't think. Listen, amillennialism, just throw it out the window right now. Satan has not yet been bound for 1,000 years and put into the abyss. That's going to happen in the future. Right now, his rights have been taken away. Christ has triumphed. Matter of fact, let's start right there for a moment. You know, when we talk about the breaking in of God, this is the basileia, the kingdom rule of God. This is now as Christ comes into the world, and I mentioned this the other night, and it's a great verse to know very well and the whole context of it, 1 John chapter 3. The reason the Son of God appeared or manifested here was to destroy the devil's work. He came to bring destruction to Satan's work. I mean, this has been going on since the fall. This has been going on in all of Israel. This has been going on all the way down the road. He came to bring destruction. He came to crush Satan's head, per se, in fulfillment of the prophecy that we go back to in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Oh, did Satan grab his heel? Did Satan bring harm? Was Satan there orchestrating the death of Christ? Yes. He had no rights, no sin rights. He had no rights at all. Nothing in Christ whatsoever. He won. In his speech, in his walk, in his life, in his conduct, never, ever sinned, but became the sin bearer. Wow. On the cross, there was agony. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That's what Jesus said. Because becoming the sin bearer, it was real. See, this is not just in words. It's not just, in concept. It all occurs in spiritual and physical reality. The sinless Christ on the cross became the actual sin bearer. And in the experience of Christ on the cross, the feeling of being forsaken, absent, separated. There is such a mix. You have the sheer perfect righteousness of Christ. He's no sinner. But he comes to consume sin. You understand that he's come to consume it? That, well, listen, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Jesus consumed sin. He literally defeated it, destroyed its works and powers and so forth. That's why salvation is of 100% grace. You receive by faith alone, the total grace of God in Christ. The only way to get forgiveness, somebody's done it for you. The only way to get the empowerment to live for God, to walk with God, and be freed from the other powers, well, that's Christ. So you've got to understand, as he comes into the world, there's this major battle going on behind the scenes. You know, from the moment he was born, Satan was there to try to devour the Christ child. He was there to try to bring destruction. By the time you come to Matthew 4, you've got this big battle going on. And Satan, with the audacity to try to get the Son of God to sin, to cross over, even quoting Scripture out of context. I've never read in all of biblical Scripture Satan ever quoting Scripture correctly. Have you? You ever hear a demon try to quote it correctly? No, they. I think both by will and by nature, they can't. It's not in them. Jesus said there's no truth in them. They know how to use it. They know what it talks about. I'm absolutely square and sure that Satan and all the demonic realm knows the prophecies. He was there waiting the first time. How does the Antichrist know to be on the field with a super spiritually demonized super soldier army there in Armageddon? How does he know? How does he know to be out there when it comes to the visible descent of Christ? You ever wonder that? If anybody believes and knows the second coming, Satan and the entire dark kingdom. That's the motivation for what they're doing. That's the motivation for globalism, because the motivation for globalism is to get the world's, well, the nation's resources and the economics, but ultimately the military power. Satan has to have this massive, massive, incredible, broad, super... Listen, DARPA, listen. There's somebody that has no problem causing conflict in the world. And from that, helping the buildup of military might and of new weapons. You want to keep your eyes on something, keep your eyes on planetary defense weapons systems. Any concept of it anywhere, let me tell you what I believe, has everything to do with the dark side literally giving ideas because of what they're going to need, Revelation 19:19, as they aim weapons into the sky. You want to talk about spiritual warfare? On the field, we see in the future, Antichrist makes it the most empowered supernatural military system in history. Utterly demonized. They've worshipped the image of the beast. They've taken the mark. But Revelation 16, the demons that have been sent out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet has gone out into all the world by supernatural force and empowerment. Deception. The kings of the earth and their militaries are gathered together. Again, if you can just consider the sheer size, technology, and supernatural, non-human enhanced super military, super soldier that's going to be out on the field. In absolute defiance of, they make their stand against God. They know what they're doing out there on the field. And I would say that there are those that we've engaged that believe they're part of the troops of Antichrist, that they're being created for that, chosen ones all over. I'll say it again, 40 million to 100 million worldwide. Russia, you got them. Germany, you got them. France, you got them. All of the European Union, Scandinavian countries down there in Italy, all across the Mediterranean, there in England and Scotland and Ireland and Canada and United States. And you've got embedded sleeper super soldiers. They're going to be here for the red horse. They're going to be here for the butchering, the bringing down of it all. And there'll be the enforcers of the rise of, well, not the rise, but the apocalypse. I began the show by asking you about the devil. What do you know about him? I mean, we can say, who is this that shakes the world? Well, he was once the anointed guardian cherub. Once walked among the fiery stones of God. Once perfect in all his ways. Once. Now, if you look at what he is now and how God gives descriptions of him. Now, let me tell you something. The source of these descriptions are biblical. The origins of the concept Satan, demon, Diablos, devil, evil one, and on and on. And I think one of the most powerful revelations of God concerning the devil is there in the future talk, in the future, in out of prophetic revelation, Revelation 12. Now, it's very emphatic. He is the megas, huge red dragon. This idea of this massive, manifest, enormous presence. Now, that's how God, paints the picture, as he's there to try to destroy Christ, go after Israel, go after the body of Christ. As we come to the end of the age, the devil's presence is going to be so huge and manifest worldwide that God gives this picture in Revelation 12, as he does nowhere else in all of Scripture. What is it, five times in that one chapter? The dragon. It's a pretty big concept. Huge. I mean, the Spirit of God uses that term huge the Megas dragon. And there you see again what he is. He's called this huge red dragon. He's called the ancient serpent. He's called the devil, Satan. He's an adversary, a destroyer, a deceiver, a tempter, an evil one. I mean, this is who engaged. Can you again? Don't forget again. Matthew 4. He engages Jesus. Not just it wasn't you know Jesus wasn't taken out of his body. This was physical. This was supernatural as he takes him to the high point. Did you read Matthew 4 where Satan gives kind of a hologram? I'm not going to call it a hologram, but he gives a picture, a vision. He's able to show all the kingdoms of the world, or try to at least show all that, and tell Jesus, I'll give you all this if you'll bow down and worship me. Now someone can scream, liar, again and again and again. He speaks his native language. You think for a moment if the Son of God bowed down that Satan would have given? He would have snapped the Son of God right then. The rights would have been Satan's. You realize that engagement there in Matthew chapter 4? You see, Satan has embedded rights over humanity, body, soul, and spirit, life and death. Because we sinned, we joined, we believed, we embraced, we took him in. Exchanging the glory of God for the finite, exchanging the truth of God for the lie. Now listen, on a spiritual and inseparably from spiritual, physiological level, I've already shared this the other day, we literally, DNA changed, genetics changed, everything about us changed. We lost the Spirit of God. We lost the presence of God. We lost the once eternal nature that we had. And coming into us was the sarx, a sin nature, a force that we acquired in sin that is hostile to God, that drives us deeper into that darkness. It's the doorway for Satan himself. Prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And that's a revelation. Listen, those who are disobedient, those of you right now that have the sin nature as the operating principle of your life, you're still lost. Satan, whether you like it or not, whether you believe that he exists or not, has rights over your life and over your death. So I want you to take a broader look at the coming of Christ as an attack on Satan's embedded rights, his legal rights, his topon, as if you want to use the word. He has a right. Jesus coming to the cross, of course, dying as the sinless Savior, being buried, rising from the dead just, well, 1,000 years in advance, Psalm 16, God said the Holy One would not see decay. Jesus said he'd be raised up. I mean, this is clear. The resurrection of Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. Only Jesus spoke those words. If you're a dying man, if you're a dying woman, what rights do you have to heaven? To indestructible immortality. Do you know the living Christ? See, salvation involves the personal heart of God, the relational aspect, but it involves the physics, the fix. Your sin issue has to be fixed. The sin code inside has to be broken. The Satan's literal real rights has to be broken. The death code that leads to hell itself has to be broken. And your dying physical body has to be implanted with the seed of the God-given immortality that Christ acquired for the human race at the cross. The shed blood of Christ. Well, yeah, It's a tsunami to hell. The cross is a tsunami to hell's rites, hell's activities. Hell has gone nuts at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. You know the songs? You know the old rugged cross? Listen, because of it, I will have on an instantaneous, unsplittable moment of time, indestructible, a irreversible, immortal, glorified body, able to see God face to face as he reaches out his hand to wipe away every tear. The end of the history of hurt. God is a savior. God is a healer. Do you know him? May God save you right now if you don't know him. Turn to the living Christ. Believe on him as Savior and Lord. Receive him into your life. How do you do that? Well, listen, you can put it out in prayer. The Word of God says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just you can bow a knee if you'd like to. That's what I did when I got saved. I just bowed. I got down on my knees, put my face on the ground, and I cried out, God, forgive me. I am a sinner. I am wretched. I am lost. I knew what I was. Jesus, come into my life. I don't know everything about you, but come into my life. And I heard you will give me your power and strength to be able to live a new life. That's what I prayed 37 years ago. And I believed on the Christ, that the Gospels. You know, like Jesus says it in John's Gospel, chapter 7. I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of their inmost being would flow. Now he says rivers of living water. In the context there, just read it. The power of the Holy Spirit. I know God's presence. Do you know God's presence inside? And if you do, you got to understand, wow, there is nothing higher. Guaranteeing what is to come, let alone what you can do right now. If not, I guess for the devil sometimes. I have people come into the offices over the years. Oh, the devil's beat me up. I'm really getting beat up in spiritual warfare. And I'm going to say that it's due to ignorance, sometimes due to just sin issues. You know, sometimes Christians just blatantly open the door. That's why God says in Ephesians 4, you know, be angry, but don't sin. And don't let the, you know, don't let the sun go down on your anger. You know, if you get all bitter, you get all filled up with that, well, then you give a topon, the Greek word, topon, a legal right, like a doorway to Satan. And the Spirit of God says, don't give the devil a legal right. Don't. How do you get that? How do you get Satan's harassment and attachment in some sin area of your life? And you know that he's there? Well, repent of the sin. Are we that dense? Repent of the sin. That's the doorway you're giving. Sin is inseparably and ultimately connected to the devil. Read about it in 1 John chapter 3. Sin is inseparably connected. He's the origin of sin and sinning and of the sin nature. We acquired it because we sinned. We got it, and we the multiplicities of sins, all in opposition to God, by the way. God is the one that says don't. Well, why he does what he does, we'll deal with that tomorrow night a little bit more, the methodology issues and so forth. The evidence for the devil in the world today, not only, listen, I'm going to start again, biblical revelation. You don't have this without biblical revelation. Why? Because biblical revelation talks about the hiddenness of Satan, his operating behind the scene. He is beyond humanity. He's beyond fallen humanity. He's beyond us. So the biblical revelation issue. You can talk about the history. I read volumes of books by Jeffrey Burton Russell, I believe from Denver University. Volume after volume of writing about the history of the devil. Amazing. In artwork, in the history, in philosophy, in poetry, in the writings, in anthropology, in all the world. So in reading kind of a historical and an anthropologist view and taking a look at the witness of the devil's imprint, history, I believe, shows this. I believe there was a devil before I got saved. I believed when I got into all the things I got into, I believe there were powerful demonic entities. Again, when we don't know Christ and don't know the depth of what the devil's all about back as a kid, well, I was thinking like some of the young folks think today and thought Satan could give me power. Didn't he offer power? Didn't he offer things to Jesus? Wasn't it his to give? Did the Rolling Stones actually go to South Africa to learn voodoo, how to vex their audiences? Are there those like Nazareth that sold their soul to the devil? Are there those like Slayer, South of Heaven, spill the blood? I stood 5 feet away from Marilyn Manson as demonic presence manifested and he fell to the ground. Jar Arena, big concert. The cops wanted me to engage him, but his people just dragged him on the floor back into the back rooms. If you know about globalism and you're concerned about it, and a surveillance society, if you're looking at seeing globalism and the new military systems that are being developed that are going to take away all the sovereignty of nations and all the new laws and all the new restrictions and all the taking away of guns and all the stuff to take away everything to bring about a political military sovereignty on a global scale. I'm going to tell you that it's that the ideology is luciferic in conception, inception, and development. There's an evolution of it. There will be the events. I'm going to tell you right now, globalism, I'm going to tell you right now what God says, the scripture says. Calm everybody down. Globalism is going to come. That's right. That one world order, that new world order, that whole new thing's coming. That's right. Antichrist is going to come. Listen, you can't stop him. I hear discussions on coast to coast, other places. Can we stop the Antichrist? No. See, biblical prophecy deals with all the contingencies, everything that occurs, what Satan does, what God's going to do, what mankind's going to do, and tells us exactly what's going to happen in preparation for the use in evangelism. The Antichrist will have this unveiling. The false prophet will ascend out of the earth. And Revelation 13, a beast kingdom. When God uses that term, he's talking about beyond the concept of a human political, military, economic system. It will rise, as it says there, but not until the restrainer that God has put to restrain the force of hell's bulging agenda. Yeah, it's bulging at the seams. Both Christian and non-Christian can see it worldwide. They feel it in the air, this great catastrophe coming. You don't have to see the devil face to face to know his existence. Every believer in Christ should understand the origin, the nature, the methodology of seduction, temptation, and all the ways. That's why we're given the authority of Christ to trample the dark side, overcome all the power of the enemy. God says Satan is your enemy. Your enemy is prowling around seeking to, you know, someone to devour. But there you stand with the authority of Christ to clear the air around you, to stand there under the given blood of Christ, protection of the living Christ that blew Satan out of the waters, by the way. Take a read of Colossians chapter 2. Jesus blew Satan and the principalities and powers out of the waters. The Son of God did destroy the devil's work, and he's coming again to finish it. But when he said, I will build a church in the gates of hell, he launched the church into enemy territory. What's the goal? Number one commission, win everybody you can. Go to the highways and the byways. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Because of the eternal command of God, the prophetic scripture and the gospel, God wills and wants all nations to repent and believe in Christ. Every single human being. Go after them. We've got You know, listen, God launched us as the aggressor. God launched us to advance his work, his kingdom. God launched us. He saves us. We're filled with his joy. We're filled with knowing that we know Christ. The power to grow, the power and enablement by the Spirit of God to do his will. What is the power and the clothing of the Spirit of God all about? Winning souls. What is the book of Acts all about when it comes to the empowerment of the Spirit of God? Signs, wonders, miracles. And it includes healings and deliverances. Get everybody saved. Get everybody saved. So I'm going to say to every believer right now, God did not ask us to stop. God did not ask us to hide in a cave. God said, complete his work. Do the work. Matter of fact, if you understand the book of Acts, the obedient church that kept on advancing, though it had difficulty, though it had spiritual attack, though that spiritual dark side would empower demonic ideology politically and laws and so forth to attack the church just kept right on going forward. People kept right on getting saved up until this very day. Welcome to the 280 million Christians in China. Welcome to the new believers all over Russia. Welcome to the believers in the Northmen. Scandinavia. Welcome to the believers in South Africa and South America, to the Hawaiian Islands, all over the Philippines, and there in India, there in the Arab countries, there in Israel. Whoever, worldwide. See, God's got an agenda. It's bigger than the devil's, more powerful than the devil's. Christ is not going to return until everybody gets to hear the unequaled, unprecedented gospel. God loves you. God's come to save you. Christ came to the cross. God gave his life for you. That whosoever turns, whosoever believes, whosoever hears and then receives the living Christ, turns to him, not only receives all of what Jesus did, who he is, all the empowerments necessary to be the church, the body of Christ, the believer that is sent into the world to every highway and byway. God bless all missionaries everywhere. See, I see myself as a missionary right here, right now. I see myself as a missionary as I go out tonight into the public. I've got an agenda. God has given it. I've got empowerment, the Spirit of God. God has given, clothed with power from on high. What's it all for? To be a witness of Christ to the world, to win souls. Can I pray for healings? Yes. Can I engage demonic presence? Yes. Do we need to do it more? Absolutely. Well, I've gone almost the whole way without dealing with some of the other things. We'll bring them up tomorrow night. Listen, may God's hand be on you to respond, to get saved, to grow as a believer. We love you in Christ. May God's extraordinary miracles occur in Jesus' name. Remember us in prayer. Please remember us in support. This is Russ Dizdar. Good night.